Adam Kramer, national lead college football writer for Bleacher Report, at Kegs and Eggs on Twitter. Adam, how are you, sir?
What's going on, fellas?
Just hanging out, man. Excited about the weekend of football coming up, kicking off tonight with some college games and, of course, with the NFL debut. One of the games, the biggest game of the weekend, is something that you've kind of profiled on Bleacher Report, and that is Oregon taking on Michigan State, a very well-coached Michigan State team in East Lansing. And the stage with all the viewers is going to be awesome, but is Oregon up to the task with Vernon Adams as a former FCS quarterback? Kind of, he's got the debut under his belt at Oregon, but this is really the first big test.
It is, and when you look at the fact that the Oregon defense last week looked, not up to par, certainly with what we've seen the last few years, which is sort of one of those an underrated unit, he's going to have to be great. And defensively, you know, I think the over-under in this game is hovering right around 70. That's not something you're accustomed to seeing Michigan State teams in. The reality is that defense from a few years ago that was so dominant, well, they've lost some players to the NFL. They lost some players like Ed Davis, the linebacker, to injury. They lost Pat Narduzzi to Pitt. It's a lot different. It's a lot different for Oregon, certainly without Marcus Mariota. But I'm thrilled to see what Vernon Adams I'm thrilled he gets this stage, first and foremost, because the kid is a joy to watch. But I'm also excited to see what he can do. Hostile environment like this, I had a chance to talk with him a few times this offseason. He was itching for this kind of stage. So it's an enormous amount of pressure that he has on his shoulders here to basically go out and utilize all those weapons. They have plenty of them and win this game. But in a lot of ways, this is the kind of pressure that he's been waiting for. This is the game that he's really wanted to be a part of, which is why he made the move to Oregon.
Can you make a case, though, Adam? He might not be the best quarterback in this game. Could you make a case that Connor Cook might be better than Vernon Adams? He's a more proven commodity at the D1 level.
Yeah, absolutely. Cook is fantastic. And if you ask NFL draft scouts, you know, you ask for that prototype quarterback, their answer, they'll give it to you here in about 3 seconds. So Cook, to me, you know, the numbers aren't as big as Adams have been. They won't be this year. Obviously, he plays in an offense that likes to run the football, and it's that more classic pro-style, you know, attack. But in terms of arm strength, in terms of what he did, I thought Cook played a fabulous game last year against Oregon. He's a guy, certainly, that has had some big moments already, played in some big games already. Just to watch him grow, yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I think when you talk about this game, we can talk about defense and running backs. In reality, you have two of the biggest and best quarterbacks in the country going head-to-head, and that's where this matchup begins.
Another reason this matchup's so interesting is because of that stylistic difference you're talking about. Oregon goes about as fast as anybody can in college football, and then Michigan State is kind of one of the last holdouts of the old-school pro-style line it up and turn it into a street fight kind of offenses. Is that still a viable way to win on a championship level in college football when everybody else is running 85 plays a game?
You know, it's kind of funny to see Alabama run that hurry up, isn't it, these days?
Yeah.
And they were running plenty of it last week against Wisconsin, where you almost have to do a double take because you look and all of a sudden they're at the huddle. And again, this is, if you remember Nick Saban's favorite quote from a few years ago, is this what we want football to be when talking about tempo? Well, regardless of what we want it to be, it's here. I think it's all dependent on the personnel. Truly it is. I think depending on how you operate, you can make it work. Now, you know, you look at the teams right now who are being highly regarded. You know, Ohio State is a team that certainly can run tempo. Baylor obviously goes faster than just about anybody. TCU certainly works that in there as well. So there's no question that it's working. But if you do something right, and more importantly, if you have a quarterback able to run what you want to run, then you can do that. And obviously Michigan State, with the success they've had and sustained over the past few years, has proven that.
Adam Kramer's our guest here on the Bill and O.C. Show on ESPN 700, national college football writer for the Bleacher Report. You find him on Twitter, at Kegs and Eggs. We talked to you a couple of times in the offseason about Utah's opener against the Fighting Harbaughs of Michigan. And if you watched any lead-up to it, it was against Jim Harbaugh, not against the University of Michigan. What was your takeaway from what you saw a week ago tonight? And, you know, Utah's got a big win with an in-state team tomorrow night in Utah State. But what was your takeaway from the Utah-Michigan game?
Well,
to be honest, I thought we saw what I expected to see, which was a really good, really underrated Utah team. I know preseason polls don't mean anything. In fact, I despise their very existence. But when Utah was not included in a lot of that discussion, that sort of made me angry. Because, again, you look at the way that they can beat you. That defensive front was just mauled Michigan. You go back and watch some of that film. The old line for Michigan was bad last year. I don't think I've seen pieces where it was that bad. And I think that's in part because Michigan, quite frankly, has not been able to get that right, but also Utah was just so good. So I'd love to see that. And I love the fact that Utah's best player struggled to really get it going on the ground, and yet offensively they seem to still have an edge. I think Michigan, we're going to get some interesting perspective this week because Michigan takes on Oregon State, and I think Michigan is going to look a lot better. And I think that Utah's win against Michigan as the season progresses is going to look a lot better. So ultimately, love what I saw at Utah. And as we learned, this Michigan fix, it's going to take time. It's going to take not, 6 weeks or 6 months, but years to get them to the point where I think Harbaugh can meet expectations, which are going to be enormous and probably insane.
You talked about the lack of respect for Utah coming into the season. Who's the most overrated team in college football right now? Who in your mind is ranked or highly spoken of that maybe doesn't deserve it?
Well, LSU and Georgia, I've looked at them in the polls, and obviously LSU's game, Mother Nature says we're going to have to wait a week. I'm really interested to see what they do because offensively they have a lot of questions. Defensively they have a lot of questions. I get a sense that if LSU had a different helmet on, they wouldn't be ranked in the top 15 or wherever they were to start the season. Georgia, obviously, Nick Chubb at running back is fabulous. I mean, that is a mean, mean dude, and I mean that in the nicest way possible at running back. But, again, I've got questions defensively. I've got questions at quarterback. I've got questions about their skill position players at wide receiver and their ability to stay healthy. So, again, it's hard to say. I know a lot of people thought that Notre Dame was the most overrated team, and I pushed back and said I kind of like them, and I feel even better about them after Texas. But I would probably start in the SEC and then kind of work my way down.
Adam, the Pac-12 had a less than auspicious start last weekend, with some exceptions. Utah beating Michigan, UCLA handling Virginia. Arizona State went from 15th to falling all the way out of the polls, which I thought myself, and again, early season polls, as you said, don't mean a whole lot, but it wasn't like they got beat by Texas A&M Kingsville. They got beat by a pretty good Texas A&M team, I thought. Well, what's your takeaway? All the talk in the offseason, including with us, was, hey, Pac-12's nipping on the SEC's heels. Is there too much to be made or too little to be made? What do you make of the first weekend for the Pac-12?
I think it's fine. We make these declarations week to week. Remember last year when we pronounced the Big Ten dead from the playoff in the middle of September when Ohio State lost, and we said, and again, from the highest mountaintops, this is the end of the Big Ten, and then they win a national championship. You look at the Pac-12, and yeah, there's some ugly things. Mike Leach is got the bucket out trying to get the water out of the ship because that was not good. And some of the top teams some of the teams within that conference did not look good. Colorado, that's an ugly loss. But the power programs, the kind of the programs we expect to be good, are fine. And I think, again, when you start to evaluate conference strength, A, it's kind of that never-ending argument, that never-ending cycle. It's we can just keep going after it until somebody else asserts themselves and somebody else falls back. It'll be week to week in terms of how we evaluate. I still think the Pac-12 is fine. Honestly, after seeing Josh Rosen at UCLA, it's hard not to imagine that team being in the mix at some point, or at the very least, UCLA being a really tough out for anybody. I know that was only one game, but the Bruins and the Pac-12 may have the best quarterback in the country. After seeing him, do it in that game, long way to go, obviously, but my goodness gracious, what a debut. And in terms of evaluating the conference and evaluating the teams, I thought UCLA and their quarterback made probably the biggest impression of them all.
We obviously don't want to snap any judgments after just 1 week, but what's going on with Stanford? Where do you think Stanford's going to be when this season plays itself out?
Well, I'll be honest. I mean, that is the play calling was bad. The decision-making was bad. The punting is bad. I've always thought that David Shaw was not the greatest of play callers, and I've always felt that their inability to really go after it has hurt them in big games, and that's an ugly loss. I mean, that is Northwestern is a team, and I'm obviously in their backyard here, that has been down for a while, and no one around here gave them a chance at all. And that's a big-time win for Pat Fitzgerald and one he needed. On the other side of that, I mean, Stanford is a team that some were picking up college football playoff consideration by some. Experienced quarterback and obviously a great tight end. They were without some weapons, which hurt. And obviously defensively and the offensive line, they have to do some shuffling. But if you're Stanford and have built your way to that point, that's not a game you can lose. And I know it was ugly, and again, it happens. It's the first week of the season. Without a preseason, games are going to be ugly. That is a loss I was not anticipating. I thought Stanford would thoroughly dominate Northwestern, and it's not to be. I'm not going to go into hot seat or any of that, but I will say that if you're a fan or just looking on, you know, from a distance, that has got to be concerning in terms of where that program is headed.
Outside of Michigan State, is there anybody in the regular season that even threatens Ohio State?
No.
I don't think
so
either.
And quite frankly, at this point, we'll see what Michigan State does against Oregon. But if you watch Michigan State, Ohio State last year, Buckeyes just dominated that game. And that was that team wasn't as good as this one. I mean, you know, the Braxton Miller experience and the Braxton Miller debut there is one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. A guy that's played quarterback that just picked up wide receiver like that, who's about 225 pounds, that's terrifying. And they weren't with their best player. Joey Bosa was suspended. And yes, the schedule talk this week is legitimate. Ohio State's schedule is very easy. They're also the most talented team in the country. I think you can say both of those things separately and make pretty good cases for both. You know, Ohio State has gone out of their way to try and schedule some people, and the rest of the Big Ten, at least the middle to bottom half of it, is down. Again, some of those things are outside their control. But after the playoff run, seeing all that talent, seeing all the speed, again, this team is going to be a tough out, regular season or not.
Are the Buckeyes going to have three players in serious Heisman conversation by the end of the year?
It's tough. I mean, they brought in a Heisman, almost a Heisman finalist as the backup quarterback.
Right.
Cardale Jones Day was done, and JT Barrett finished fifth or sixth last year. They bring in him for mop-up duty. It's insane. Ultimately, these guys are probably going to steal each other's votes. Certainly, the quarterback taking the majority of the snaps is going to garner that consideration most because it's a quarterback award, which is not necessarily fair, but it is what it is. Ezekiel Elliott's numbers are going to be off the charts, assuming they give him the ball a legitimate number of times. That was the one thing about that game which was so baffling, is why he only had three carries in the first half. And if Braxton Miller can come close to doing what he has, which is going to be difficult because they have so many weapons, and they're going to spread the ball out so much more. I mean, they're getting two outstanding H-backs, back from suspension this week. You know, the buzz with him is going to be loud and clear, and maybe he gets into it. But I would imagine that these guys are probably going to take votes away from one another because it's not going to be a one-man show. You're going to have that production spread around.
That's Adam Kramer, national lead college football writer for Bleacher Report at Kegs and Eggs on Twitter. Enjoy the weekend. A lot of football to watch, obviously. We appreciate you taking the time and catching up with us, Adam.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Adam.